buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts. Podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Gloucestercast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro, and his crew of merry castaways. No piping plovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good Tuesday morning.
Hey, hi, everybody.
I'm late.
It's Tuesday, right? Yeah.
All the problems came from me this morning. So I am one of the people that can accept responsibility when I fuck up. We're 7 minutes late. That is inexcusable. I'm holding myself accountable.
Okay.
I want dagger eyes from Jimmy and Pat right now. Give me the dagger eyes. Give me your best dagger eyes. Because that's what I'd be giving you right now. So I want you to know. It's a two-way street. All right?
Well, the pressure's off me, and I appreciate that, Joey. Yeah. Because McCarthy right now would have been all over me.
Oh my God, Almighty in heaven! I would be remiss to not accept responsibility for my failure.
There you go.
It is Tuesday, a bonus podcast today. We are February 9th. We are fresh off of our tremendous value. I think it's the best value in the city deal. Monday nights at Beauport. Burger,
it was awesome. One more time.
You know what? By the way, I had my cheapest bill yet because it was just me and Madeline. And
we did too.
Well, that's strange because you had all the big heavy hitter drinkers.
Because we had the heavy drinkers at our table, yes. Scotty, but it was
Scotty Mac, Nicole, both huge mm-hmm. drinkers, and mm-hmm. Pat. I mean, can hold her own with anybody. And you had So wait, was it more of a relatively low bill? It was still like $100.
No, it was the burger and the beer and the tip, and that was it, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Well, we only had one drink.
Yeah, nobody went for seconds.
That's interesting to me. See, if I was at the table, you would have had two more at least.
Yeah, well, the social grouping got a little twisted due to the seating availability, which was fine. It was great to see so many people there.
Can we just call it like it was? You didn't pull the GMG card? Is that
what? Oh, okay. Speaking of accepting responsibility, yes, that is true. We did not do that when we called.
I did not pull the GMG card, and I'm not exactly sure who to talk to, but when we got there, you called it this morning. Well, we went and we fixed our mistakes, and we think that we're going to be okay.
I didn't know if I couldn't tell. It's a little hard to tell in that room if they added the 15% capacity. I don't know. That could only be two more people. Who knows? But
so speaking to our server, they said that that space is so wide open, it didn't affect the bar area as much as it did the dining area. So
that
for
makes
the dining
sense.
Area, they got a big bump, but they didn't have necessarily have a big bump anywhere else. They
that makes sense. But yeah. For a Monday, there were a lot of people there.
I saw a lot of people at the bar.
At least two. I only spoke to two different groups, and both of them said that they were there because they saw the Good Morning Gloucester post.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
They took our seat. But that's okay.
So I want you guys to notice something right now. See how it's just the two of us? Look at mm-hmm. Look at the quality of the stream right now.
Oh, it's awesome. It makes a difference.
It does. Yeah. I think the software is using a ton of processing power to figure out when there's like six different people talking. It's trying to lower the volumes of the others and raise the volumes of who's talking. All the cameras coming in through the one pipe. But yeah, you can tell, like, because you guys are usually a lot more blurry than this, and you guys have a great picture today.
Well, isn't that nice?
Well, I showered. I had time to shower this morning. So
I even shaved, for crying out loud. Thanks, Joey.
We would be remiss if we did not mention it's Paul Ryan O'Brien, who is recovering from COVID. So our thoughts are with her. How are her symptoms?
She's fairly severe. She's at home. So she's not, I haven't heard from her today. I'm sort of hoping to hear from her right now on the podcast. Fairly severe, but she's at home. So she's getting there. But hi, Paula. I hope you're doing well today. Yeah. And I hope we see you soon.
We haven't had any messages come in. I wonder if the chat is down for some reason. I don't know. Let's see. If anybody's listening right now, just type in to say hi. What'd you say, Pat?
So I was going to, since we have a little extra bandwidth here, I was going to go check the Facebook feed.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do check. That.
No, okay. they can only screw things up. Let's
okay. All right.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joey, if your theory on the band, on the restream and using all the power and stuff, then when you did your hockey night with the guys, whoever runs restream just threw their hands up in the air and said, freak it. Because that was wild.
How was the audio on the other end of that one?
I thought it was pretty good.
The one guy was having a little audio problem.
Yeah, that
problem.
One guy.
Gappa.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking about from the viewer's perspective.
Oh.
Good morning, Brenda Davis, and good morning, Andy Lee. We got some of our.
Glad to have you.
I know. I didn't really promote it that much.
There we go.
Here we go. We got a
nice
little
problem. Rob. Thank you.
Adaptive bitrate streaming. It augments quality to accommodate for bandwidth and processing constraints. Yeah, that's a fancy way of saying exactly what I said in layman's terms. Thank you, though. I appreciate for now we know ABR. We can draw that term around.
We can do ABR.
It's adaptive bitrate streaming. Yes, that's what it is. For people like my mother, you could just say you're trying to jam six pipes into one pipe, and you have to figure out the routing.
And how's your ABR this morning, sir?
Good morning, Chris. Welcome.
Welcome to Chris Thompson. I have my. You guys, let me see. What do you got? Let me see. Let's see. What? Fail.
Valentine's Day mug. That's not a fail.
Hey. I haven't seen a Good Morning Gloucester coffee mug, so that's why I'm.
What? They're on the dishwasher.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
No, I'm washing.
It is. It actually is on the dishwasher.
It is. Okay.
So I wanted to mention my friend Sushi Sang Lee is doing a special thing for his sushi this week. And it is a Valentine's box. So you go to sushisangli.com and you can place in your order. I'm going to guess that he sells out early this week because he's been selling out every week. And he moved to Savor Wine and Cheese and they have plenty of parking out back. And they so I know that Kathleen from Savor Wine and Cheese put all kinds of interesting sakis on the in so you can get sake and sushi.
Oh, nice.
So that'd be a kind of a great way to. Hi, good morning, Lori Joseph Thorntonson. That would be a nice way to have your spend Valentine's Day if you're a sushi person. I'm a huge sushi person, so I already put my order in. I'm all about it. And the girls eat sushi too, so.
Is he going to make it into a heart, or is he going to make it into roses?
No, it's a box, but it's really cool. I've enjoyed every. I've got it every week, and I've enjoyed it every week. And it's a great thing for Gloucester. We need to talk to our friend Zach at Minglewood, see if they're doing any specials. I know Tano is opening reopening for Valentine's Day weekend. And they said they're going to keep going from there. So that's exciting. Super Bowl recap, Jimmy. What did you – I never really talked to you about it. What were your feelings?
No, well, remember, you were clear across the room having daddy-daughter time, and, I didn't want to walk in there and
Yeah, no. So what did you think of the game?
Well, let's face it. I'm giving all the credit to the coaches. They did their work. And no matter what Casey did, they just shut it down. They just shut it down. That was a great plan on the defense. The way they just, I mean, even when they got them jumping off sides and the extra fighting and the extra words because the officials were looking, you know, they've talked about that and all this stuff. The coaches just had the players ready. And of course, Brady came through. This is what he does. He finds the hole, and he makes it bigger.
All right. So these are my takeaways. My takeaway was, I don't think enough credit has been given, or not. It's not the word. Credit's not the right word. I don't think enough emphasis has been put on the injuries to Kansas City's offensive line. I think that was an unbelievable defensive performance, but I don't think they have that performance if Kansas City's, I think three of their all-pro offensive linemen were injured and didn't play in the game. Those are huge, huge shoes to fill. So there's that. Here's a little tidbit I heard. I'm going to just mind dump thoughts from the game. What I heard was that the whole week leading up to the Super Bowl, Tom Brady texted the entire team and said, "We're going to win this game." Every day, every player and coach got a text saying that, which is amazing. They don't win that game without Tom Brady, obviously, but I think that it all started when he was signed. That's when it started. The game was won with Brady being signed and being able to have Antonio Brown, Gronk come there because of that, and Leonard Fournette. Because the defense, as we know, when you have that many, like this would have been an unbelievable game if Kansas City's offensive line was healthy. This would have been how they predicted the game to go. I think a lot of the people that make the odds discounted the offensive line being banged up. So
yeah.
I think it would have been like one of those games down to the wire. So there's that. Pat, did you watch the game as well, Pat?
I did. Well, kind of.
Kind of.
She read a book by Steve Side. So
the halftime show, I think, was the worst halftime show I've ever seen in my entire life.
Hey, I was watching a little bit of it, and I couldn't take it, so I went out and I shoveled the snow.
You know what I kept thinking? Michael Jackson with the guys with the things in the heads and the dancing on the – kept thinking it was a Michael Jackson video.
Scotty was talking to us last night. I know he can't join us today, but he brought up a lot of things, and he can bring it up. Technically, it was not as sound as it should be because you really couldn't hear all the singers. It wasn't really done well with timing. So it didn't catch your appeal. And visually looking at somebody said, I love the meme that I saw that the Kansas City guys were all walking around saying, "Where did our jock straps go?" Well, they used them for the halftime on their heads.
Rob Kluwer says it was ominous and dark. I agree. It was absolutely horrible. In the last couple of years, we've had some of the best ones. I thought that Lady Gaga was unbelievable. I thought that Beyonce and Shakira was unbelievable. And in the past, they've always had more than one performer. There was only one performer. In the past, they've had.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look who's here. Scotty's here.
Wait a second. Look at this. Oops. Hey.
Hey, hey,
hey. Hey, you made it.
We were just talking about you.
Yeah, well, work got called off, so I was able to chime in here.
This is a great surprise. All right, so Scotty, being a music guy and everything else, give us your thoughts on the halftime show.
Terrible.
Right. But I mean, in which ways for you? Because I explained that, like, in the past, I thought Lady Gaga was unbelievable. I thought that the last couple of years, Beyonce, and normally in the past, they've had like multiple acts. You'd have like one country guy and maybe like some rapper, and then, you know, and they'd bring it all together on stage, and it was like this big uplifting thing. Give me your thoughts.
So in that aspect, I agree with you. There's been big production in a year, as we're all experiencing. I think that they kind of scaled back and tried to go about it as much as best they could. Honestly, I think that he might have been on the D list of choices, and that's what they could come up with. Not to take away from The Weeknd's music. I do enjoy his music. I think he's a great talent. I think that was the wrong venue for him. To be able to carry a Super Bowl halftime show all by himself.
I agree. I like his music too. I think he's had like four or five like top hits. It's just that he was all by himself. And maybe the whole jockstrap, you know, they had to wear masks, right? So they made them wear these funky things to, cause it would dual purpose, right? Like the mask and like a costume.
I think that the taking over the entire field. I think the choreography was great, though. That's a tough thing to do. Choreography is not easy. So to have an entire football field of that many people knowing exactly what to do at exactly the right times, I thought was actually kind of interesting. They did have some fireworks going off, but they all do that. And the set was interesting. I was dizzy for a little while on the set when they went underneath the stage and they kind of did that whole GoPro type approach. Yeah. I had to look away, you know, half a dozen times because it made me dizzy.
I read online other people say the same thing. I've read that as well.
Now the pregame, Joey, the pregame stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The national anthem, that was different. I'm not used to, as a music guy in me, I wasn't used to hearing a different type of meter to go through. But then as they were starting to share it and everything else, it sounded pretty good. I don't know if it's going to be as good as Whitney Houston's ever, but, you know.
Not even in the same stratosphere. No.
But the sign language guy was awesome.
Yeah,
that was cool. On the big screen,
he was great.
Very enthusiastic.
I would want him.
Did you see on the news that before that performance of the national anthem that she actually channeled, so to speak, Whitney Houston by wearing the tracksuit that she wore when she?
No, I didn't see that.
To kind of say, hey, listen, you know. Get in the spirit of that. She well respected Whitney Houston. I think everybody who had heard that back in the 90s and since, nobody's been able to touch that, you know?
No, not at all.
But
I think they usually do a better job. Overall, that production I thought sucked.
I have to admit, Joey, McCarthy's not with us and they arrested the streaker. Is there a correlation there? By any chance, or no truth to rumor? Where is he? It wasn't McCarthy.
Because Marty's. I see. Yeah.
You want to address that, Joey, or what? You know.
I would put it past him. No. The streaker was more entertaining than the halftime show, and the Weeknd, put in. $7 million of his own money for that performance, and it was not money well spent because I didn't see one person on social media say anything positive about that performance.
One of the comments I read someplace, and actually it was a music venue here in Massachusetts. I'm gonna not mention that venue, but they did put it out there, the same type of question, and out of probably 75-80 comments, there were two half-assed nice comments, but one of the comments was there was so much auto-tune in there, they could have hired this cat for half price. And people were brutal on this one. I mean, I don't know what was going on.
So now Pauline brings up a good one, the commercials. Give me your favorite commercials.
All right, who do you, Pat? Why don't you go first?
I like the M&M's commercial.
Yes. Yes.
That was, I think, my favorite of the night. Although the Sam Adams.
What was your favorite part about the M&M's? What was your favorite part about the M&M's commercial, Pat?
Well, it's probably the same as everybody. I'm sorry, Karen. I'm sorry your name is Karen. Well, my name is Karen. Here you go, Karen. Here's more M&M's. Yeah, that's probably the best part of that one.
I had a feeling you would go with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, who would it? I mean, that's pretty much made the commercial.
That was the best one, I think. Go ahead.
I like the your cousin. Is it not your cousin? But when I saw the horses, first reaction, I know we talked about this last night, Sky, but my first reaction was, wait a second, Budweiser said they weren't going to do any commercials. Are they just throwing a curveball? Here we go. And then when I didn't really see the Budweiser thing, I started to go, wait a second, what's going on? And he pulls the pin out. There goes the horses. I just start roaring laughing. That commercial made me laugh.
I thought PETA was going to be right all over that one.
Yeah.
I missed the Bruce Springsteen one.
Oh, that was different. But I have to admit, the New Jersey Bruce Springsteen driving an open Jeep in the middle of Kansas or wherever it was, that definitely was different. But I like the words. But I don't know if that was a top commercial. Was it? Was that rated top?
I didn't care for it. I don't really go for the Super Bowl. I don't want sappy ones. Although yeah. I did like the Toyota one with the swimmer. That one got me.
That was good.
That was very well done. But for the Super Bowl, I want beer commercial. I want throwbacks to it all being just hilarious. I always like the Doritos ones and the beer commercial ones where it's just really creative, funny ones. Mm-hmm. There's too much.
Yeah, that's what Amy said. She didn't want to cry. She wanted to laugh.
Yeah, 100%. So
I'll give you mine.
Go ahead.
Since you mentioned Doritos, I'm going with the Cheetos one with Shaggy. It wasn't me. He's celebrating his 20th year on that song. So that ties in with your throwback, Joe. Chips and throwback in the same commercial. Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher, and Shaggy. And he changed the words up to his famous song. And I think that the Cheetos finger was kind of funny and not sappy.
Are they together? Mila Kunis and
I think they're married, actually.
Yes, they are.
Wow, they're still together. That's great.
It all started on that 70s show.
I have to admit, when the Bud Light truck was laying on its side and all those guys came out to help, I did sit there and say, I love you, man. You know, that one. I went, oh, yeah, I remember that one. Oh, yeah, I remember him. And, so that caught my eye.
Wait a second. Because I'm just realizing this now. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher were on that show. I never watched
that's the Kennedy show.
But. So they acted together for a while, and now they're together in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's a cool story.
Yeah,
I like that story.
You know, she used to. She I think it was Ukrainian or Russian, and she learned to speak English by watching the news and cartoons.
Really,
it's true.
Very interesting. She did a great job in that movie with Justin Timberlake.
What was that one? Friends with Benefits.
Yeah, pretty good in that movie. Have you seen that movie, Pat and Jim?
No.
I don't think so. I haven't seen it.
No. I just remember her from that 70s show.
She does a good orgasm on screen. She does a good orgasm. She's right up there with what was the one when Harry
Sleepless in Seattle. No, yeah, when Harry met Sally. Or wait.
Yeah.
I think it was Sleepless in Seattle. No, it was when Harry met Sally. It was when Harry met Sally. Who was the actress? Who's the actress?
Oh, the blonde.
Where did she go?
Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan, one of the more famous orgasm,
I'll have what she's having.
What happened to Meg Ryan? She was an A-lister for a while, no?
Have you seen the the plastic surgery that she's had.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's not one of the prettiest in Hollywood. She was gorgeous, and I think that she just had extended her warranty on the plastic surgery.
That's a good one. I like that.
I don't know who does all that stuff, but what they did to the Friends, what's her name, in Friends too. Oh, wow. She looks.
Was that Lisa Kudrow?
Courtney Cox.
No, Courtney Cox Arquette. That's not Arquette anymore. Yeah.
She's had bad plastic surgery.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
Wow. You know who else has had very bad plastic surgery? The Weeknd, the performer at the halftime.
Right.
Oh, really?
I saw some of those pictures.
Oh, he
horrific.
You mean his bandaged arm?
Yeah, he went like looking for like baby face to Jose Guzman.
Oh.
Great. Once again, tremendous comment right there. Yeah, no, happy for Brady though. Cements him, you know, so this one here made it so next year when Aaron Rodgers has a good run or Patrick Mahomes has a good run, any sports media person that tries to say that they're the greatest of all time, like the baby goat, you just say, shut the fuck up. Just shut up.
Looked so genuinely happy. That was what he just looked so genuinely happy.
I'm just happy that you don't have to. I'm really that was the main reason I was rooting for Brady in the beginning of the season. I was rooting against him. Then about midway, I got on board. And the main reason was I don't want to hear about, for selfish reasons, like I said before, I don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes being the greatest of all time after they've won one Super Bowl each.
Well, that was my point right there also is how can you be a Tom Brady fan if you're not a Pats fan and you were a Tom Brady fan and you were rooting when he played for the Patriots, you root for Tampa Bay and Brady. If you were a Brady fan and you rooted for him while he was with the Patriots, you follow Tom Brady because you can't call him the GOAT and be mad that he left and not call him the GOAT anymore and not root for him. I know you can see like that you want to see a younger guy, you're sick of seeing Brady win, or maybe you wanted him to be the unprecedented seventh ring. But you can't take away the GOAT no matter how you look at it.
No. I think to play devil's advocate, to say that you're a Patriots fan and not be rooting for Brady, I think that the logic would be that he left the team and you know, he should have retired a Patriot. That would be the devil's advocate, you know, looking at it.
How much of a beat can you take in the purse or the wallet on that one when you've done it for so many years and you know you're about to retire and it's time to get paid and they go, you know what, thanks for all you gave us, Tom, but you're getting old and we don't think you're worth it anymore. And so I think they did him wrong. And for that reason alone, I think I was great that he kind of just, you know, Belichick didn't do so great. And I'm not taking away from Belichick. I'm just saying that, you know what, it does prove that point now that was it Belichick, was it Brady, was it the both of them together? But Brady went on and took another Super Bowl. And look what we were dealt with Cam Newton.
He didn't do it alone. He did it with the tools that he had here. If he didn't have Gronk and he didn't have Antonio Brown,
both former Patriots,
they probably wouldn't have gone. The reason he's so special is the trust that they have in him and the willingness, just like what happened in New England, to go and play for that team probably for less money, which keeps them, you know, a viable organization financially. So them taking less money makes that happen. That mainly Brady, the GM, and, you know, indirectly the GM by getting players to come there to play because he's there is part of his greatness.
And well, that's the point. Brady did not take less money for this time. It was time to get paid. And the Pats didn't pay him. The other guys took the pay cut.
It was 20. He only got $26 million, which is a lot less than a lot worse quarterbacks in the NFL that this past year.
Was it Mahomes?
He didn't get a tremendous number. What?
Mahomes, isn't he the highest paid contract ever?
Yeah, there's a lot of quarterbacks that are worse quarterbacks that are getting paid way more money than Tom Brady did this past year. So
I tell you what, for those people that had a square and you came up with numbers, what is it, 1 and 9, tell me you weren't crying, and all of a sudden you're now dancing.
Yeah, no, we had terrible numbers. We didn't even sniff it. We had two numbers and we didn't sniff it.
I sniffed a couple times, but it just didn't pan out.
No.
So do you want to share this message from Chris regarding the streaker?
Go ahead, Pat. I don't know what the message was.
So. Chris sent us a message to discuss, and it's regarding the streaker, and I'm going to read it because it's a little hard for me to share it effectively, but I will in a second. Met the Super Bowl streaker at Jay Alexander's restaurant while having lunch before leaving Tampa. This is from somebody called Dr. Betting. He bet $50,000 on a prop bet at plus 750 that there would be a streaker at the Super Bowl. His buddy went out first as a diversion so he didn't get caught as quickly as his friend. Cost him $1,000 to get out of jail, so he cleared $374,000 on the bet.
Wow. That is, hold on. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to make you big there, Pat. Hold on.
All right. I'm going to try it. There Perfect. We go.
That's it. Hold it right there. That is awesome. That is awesome. Good for him.
Isn't that amazing?
Like I said, I think he was the streaker was more entertaining than the halftime show. So
the longest run of the game.
I would have kept the I probably would have kept the money that he made private until after his, you know, hearing or whatever, because they're probably going to
throw
the
book at
him. That the Tampa court system is going to be a hefty fine for that one now.
Yeah, no, they are too. Chris Thompson is I agree with this 100%. Romo should be a coach. He's unbelievable breaking down plays. I've been saying this ever since I started watching him. He will, as when they go up to the line of scrimmage, Romo 7 out of 10 times is calling the play before it happens. He's like, oh, look, you got a man high, you got a man low, look for Travis Kelce to break out to the left and a little pitch route, and 7 out of 10 times it's unbelievable.
So do you like that, or did you feel like you just wanted to see the play unravel and see what happened?
I feel like I'm a smarter football fan for having watched him break it down.
Non-football fans, do you think that was a huge help, or did they just were looking at the bad commercials, or they couldn't understand what he was talking about anyway, or the mediocre football fan was like, wow, that's actually pretty helpful?
Well, I think a fan like Pat, it isn't going to matter, right? Because Pat, you know, I
no,
think
it won't matter.
For someone like me, I enjoy it because I feel like I'm learning on the job. I can't speak to anyone else. How about you?
Jim?
Well, I personally thought that it was refreshing sometimes where he would say, I like when he said, okay, you see in this one, and he would try and circle the guy real quick that he was going to go and make this pattern. He was trying to call the play. I like when he was doing that, and guess what? It did happen. It wasn't like it was, whoops.
Do you think that this was an audition to be the next John Madden in video games?
No. I like what Pauline's writing, what people had, you know, for food and stuff. That was very interesting. I did see a lot of that online, too. People putting their spreads out and everything else. Boy, that's...
What did you guys do for food?
Well, we had been traveling and just got back ahead of the snow and didn't have a chance to just – we just pulled stuff out of the freezer. It was nothing special.
Yeah, we just picked.
Scotty?
So I went over to a friend's house, and we made ribeye steaks on the grill.
Ooh, nice.
We also had some crab cake, like a homemade English muffin with crab cake on it with cheese.
Ooh, yum.
And then it was like, you know, some garlic butter and stuff in there too. It was actually very delicious. And then we just snacked, you know, it was like cheese and crackers and stuff. The diet went right out the window for Super Bowl. I mean, I'm sure it does for most people.
We were in Pat and Jimmy's camp. Came home and we were fighting through the snowstorm to get home. And then I picked up the girls. So like, I basically didn't have much time to prepare anything. Kate made like some kind of quesadilla thing, and we picked. Oh, you know what we did do that was it actually was delicious. And I haven't done this forever. Kate, I give credit to Kate. She went and she bought a bunch of different cold cuts, all Italian cold cuts. And we made our own Italian sandwiches.
Paninis?
Oh.
And you know what? Again, I give credit to an Irish woman. She got mortadella, salami, prosciutto. And, okay, what kind of cheese? Here's a question to see how good of an eater you are. What kind of cheese would you put on an Italian?
Provolone.
We should have gave Pat the chance to answer first. I was waiting for her to say American.
It would have been provolone.
It would have? Okay, good. No, that was the right answer. And she.
Oh, so okay.
She,
what's on an American sub, Joey?
American sub? Is it bologna and American cheese and ham?
I believe that's partly correct. We have to go to the tape on this one.
Yeah, I don't know. We still haven't done our tuna sub challenge.
I
think we got.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, let's plan on doing that next week.
Sure.
Tuna sub challenge.
Hey, Joey, I got some news to share. I'm actually creating a flyer today for this, so if you don't mind. I'd like to mention Mermaid Tales on Main Street. My friend Lori owns a shop there. And for Valentine's Day, if you haven't been in, there's hundreds of items for $1 to $15. They're kind of getting an inventory restructuring. So lots of good deals there, $1 to $15, hundreds of items at Mermaid Tales, 161 Main Street. 10% off all of the new items in stock as well. And that's going to run, actually started running yesterday, and will run through February 13th. So for all of the guys that are watching, if you'd like to get your wife something for Valentine's Day, or ladies, if you're just in for a sale, a good deal.
There's lots of cute stuff in there.
Mermaid Tales. I'll get you the link, Pat, and we'll get that posted if you like. And I have some pictures that I took in store yesterday, so I can send a few over to you.
I have a movie recommendation. So I haven't seen it, but I've only seen the trailer. But I've heard from other people. So the name of the movie is Some Kind of Heaven. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. And let me read to you. This is the review from Rotten Tomatoes, or the intro from Rotten Tomatoes. With Some Kind of Heaven, first-time feature director Lance Oppenheim cracks the manicured facade of the Villages, America's largest retirement community, a massive self-contained utopia located in central Florida. Behind the gates of this palm tree-lined fantasy land, Some Kind of Heaven invests in the dreams and desires of a small group of Villages residents and one interloper who are unable to find happiness within the community's prepackaged paradise. With strikingly composed cinematography, this candy-colored documentary offers a tender and surreal look at the never-ending quest for finding meaning and love in life's final act. So later in the day, I have it pre-scheduled, the trailer for this movie. It looks fantastic. It
sounds like a New Age Cocoon.
Yes, but it's not. It's based in real. They're real people. It's not actors. It's not actors. And And so are you guys familiar with some of the myths and theories about the Villages? Can I run down some of the myths? Because I watched a couple of videos, and I want to discuss some to give you a little like background on what the Villages is. Did you have something to chime in with, Pat?
I'm looking at the trailer right now, and I was going to try to share the screen, but I don't want to lose everything.
No, let's not do that. Okay. But no, you can look at the trailer. I have it scheduled for 1 o'clock or something like that. But you could after the podcast, you can check out.
Yep. Brenda Grimes has got it.
Pat, you could share the link to the YouTube trailer in the comments.
Well, this is the says STDs, and she says swingers.
So hold on, hold on a second. Let me before everybody goes on to. So I watched another YouTube video from someone that lives down there, and they talked about some of the myths around the Villages. First myth, if they were true or not. First myth: was that all the people that live in the villages are retired. It's not true. There's a lot of people that are younger people that are not retired, or they're down there, but they don't. They work maybe a part-time job or something else. The next myth was that they talk about often, that the ratio of women to men is 10 to 1. And the number is 53% women, which is not really a huge skew of like a large number of women to men. So, and in 2016, there was a study, and the villages had the highest rate of STDs in the country, which is fairly.
I had heard that.
It was pretty wrong. Brendan Jones Davis had talked about it too. The last thing, which is very interesting, is if you have there's a big swinger. There's a lot of swingers down there, older people that are swingers. They go down there and they're swingers. And if the sign is, if you ever go down there to visit someone and you see that they have a loofah hanging off their end, that's the sign. Which is pretty wild, right? Like, imagine you're driving into Publix parking lot and like looking at all the cars, and like every third car has a loofah on the, and you see the people getting out of them.
Are there such things as antennas anymore on cars?
Well, I don't know. They hang a loofah off the car. I don't know if it's antennas.
That sounded like a dig to me, Pat. A little dating himself there.
No. So I think
I actually was in the villages. I visited some people there.
You visited some people there?
Yeah. I bought a bunch of loofahs. Don't you remember from there?
Jimmy.
I brought them home to you.
Were they pineapple loofahs?
Upside down pineapples.
I didn't buy anything out of a trunk there, but I did. But I did go and visit, my good buddy, his sister, and her husband lives there. We went in there.
So we should have had them on to confirm or.
Jim, the story keeps getting better. You went to visit your best buddy's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a couple of sections where golf carts. Everybody has different golf carts, and some of them look like cars, and some of them look like God knows what. And they're all riding around. The golf is amazing down there. But the big thing is there's this area where they have a lot of parties, and I can see where.
Did you go to that section where they have the parties?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, we just drove by.
No, we went out. We
just waved.
We were dancing in there. We were doing everything.
All right, Jimmy, so I'm going to ask you a question now. You know how they have the swingers kind of vacation spots like hedonism, where you go down there and you expect it to be all supermodels naked running around, and you go down there and it's all like, 50 and 60-year-olds naked with everything's drooping, and it's drooping. Nothing like you see on the brochures. What was the swinger party like?
First of all, there was a big dance area that they have these places, and at certain hours, they were bringing in certain people. Yeah.
What kind of people? And,
people who enjoyed dancing and meeting up and hooking up and doing different things, no matter the age. And there also was a beach.
I feel like you're trying to hold, there's some kind of pact where you can't reveal. Like there's like, if you go in there, you have to like dip, cut your finger and you put the blood with the blood.
There's definitely a bit of reservation going on.
Did you notice he won't, he like he said,
he's not being open. Yeah.
Kind of people. But they're not saying what kind of Jimmy. Like, were you sworn to secrecy, or can you tell us what kind of people they were bringing in?
I didn't go to that. I just saw the.
Am I taking crazy pills, or did he say he went to the?
No, he said it.
I went to the one session that you can go out and dance and do everything else, but I didn't go to the later sessions.
Can we move on?
I feel like you go there and they make you sign a waiver that you're not gonna say what happens.
It's Joey,
like,
what's that movie with Tom Cruise where you gotta wear the mask?
Oh, what is that movie? I forget that.
Eyes Wide Shut. Thank you, Brendan.
I don't know. I'm very curious about Jimmy. Listen, when we're not online and you feel comfortable, you can share with me your experiences. Okay, I understand Pat's right there, and you don't want to get in trouble.
Pat's having a hot flash over here.
There's something happening over here.
Yeah, look, she got the rosacea right now. So there's that.
Well, they had the naked beaches too.
What?
In the village.
They had what?
Jesus.
The naked beaches.
And
in the villages.
So did you partake in the naked beaches, Jim?
No, that was in the session I didn't go to.
Okay. All right.
Different session altogether.
Yes.
Completely different session. All right. That's interesting. Pat, you didn't do the thing where you tell people to share the podcast.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't sure if we have anything?
Yeah, but you know, talk okay. about it right now, and I'm gonna.
Joe's going to get his loofer to give away.
I've got plenty if they need it.
In your defense, Jim, they didn't have trunks on golf carts; only cages like baskets on the back, right?
I don't remember. Oh, it was a couple of years ago. You know, when I was younger.
So I'm happy to be a part of this cast this morning. This is one of the more fun ones I've been involved with lately. You know, minus the poop jokes from McCarthy.
Oh, we're getting there, though.
Yeah, we're really missing that. Yeah.
Is he going to chime in before the end of the cast, I think?
Scott, you can tell everybody about these.
All right. I got a prize. Okay.
Oh, the Good Morning Gloucester stickers. Joey's right proud of these stickers, and so are we here at GMG. Good Morning Gloucester sticker has had a modification. It's no longer a ray of sunlight. There's a microphone, like a 50s style microphone in the logo now. Is that right, Joe?
For the Gloucester cast.
The Gloucester cast. There's two different logos. There's the logo for Good Morning Gloucester. That is the logo for Good Morning Gloucester. We modified the, because I just had a black and white one, and I modified it to look like more on brand, but we put the microphone in the ray of sunshine.
Now, is that still the same process if you want to get one of those with a self-stamp?
We don't have stickers for that, Scotty. It's just the logo for the it goes to Spotify and iTunes. When you pull it up, it actually has the nicer, cleaner logo with the actual colors and stuff.
So why don't you tell people about the Spotify and the iTunes?
Well, we'd love for people to I should get the link, but You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, and what we'd really, really appreciate is if you go to iTunes and give us a 5-star ratings, it helps our visibility. Pauline, yeah, we could do with a gift. I have another gift too. So Pauline's gonna donate a thing of her dipshit. So that's nice, Pauline. So we'll have two gifts then. So did you give the address on where to get this self-addressed envelope for a sticker, Jimmy?
No, we didn't get to it. No.
Okay. All right. I'm going to take the floor for 1 second here.
You're allowed to. It's your show.
Yeah. Okay.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
So we have. So you can get a sticker for free. You send a self-stamped and addressed envelope to 95 East Main Street, Gloucester, Massachusetts, care of Joey. And so you put the envelope inside of an envelope, and it has to be, you know, fairly large. And we'll send back a sticker for you. Good Morning Gloucester sticker for you. We have prizes for people that share it. If you share the podcast and you type shared right now, we will, there's two prizes. Pauline donated a thing of her dipshit. It's like a seasoning that you can mix it with sour cream and it makes.
That's really good.
Really, really good dip. And Kate and I had cleaned out a closet, and I had a huge box of my favorite, like really, I had thrown away probably 200 CDs, but I kept some of a lot of the classics, probably about 50 of them. So I'm going to give away one CD a week of classic CDs because I have them and I'm not really playing them. So
you still have my Alan Estes CD? That was a prize that I won.
Well, if you did, the rule is you have to pick it up within a week, and if you don't, it goes into the prize package.
So
So there's that. So the other prize, has anybody shared it yet, Pat?
No, got zero.
We have zero shares. So maybe mm-hmm. we won't give another prize. We have to if someone shares it right now, they'd be guaranteed to win. So if they don't share it, that's fine too. If you share it right now, the other one is Steve Miller Band. Greatest Hits. That's a great album. The CD, the thing has a little bit of thing, but the CD itself is in great shape. I'll show you the CD. And I'll get back to you guys in 1 second. Here's the CD. It's in actual, it's in very good shape. No scratches. Scotty, can you name any of the, hold on 1 second. Let me make myself small here. Scotty, can you name any of the songs from the Steve Miller Band's greatest hits?
Oh, Jetliner.
Boom. Man, listen.
Boom. That one came right. That was.
This is kind of crazy for me to give this away because you got Swingtown, Jungle Love, Take the Money and Run, Rockin' Me, Serenade, The Stake, The Joker, Fly Like an Eagle, Jet Airliner, Dance, 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 Wintertime, Wild Mountain Honey. I mean, this thing, you got 20 solid songs on this compact disc. Yeah. Oh, Brenda shared it. So Brenda's
She's eligible for the shit if she wants it.
Or the CD.
She already has the CD.
I'd like to make a suggestion for the people watching. If there's a link that we can have them cut and paste, instead of sharing it on Facebook, so this is multimedia and different streams. I guess for YouTube, we have it on name the different formats we have.
Karen Seraphine, right now she'd be in the winning. It goes to YouTube. It goes to Facebook. It's on Good Morning Gloucester, obviously, and it is on Twitch, and it's on. Well, it was on Periscope, but I think that Twitch disbanded Periscope. There might be another platform that I can put it on, but I got to look into that.
So my suggestion is to cut and paste the link, and then on your phone while you're texting, go to your text list, and if you know somebody would enjoy watching the show, send them the link through that way as well, through your text message system, because people might not know that we're on right now because this is not a Sunday morning. And if you'd like to let somebody in on watching the podcast, you can cut and paste that link and send it to your text list.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Scotty. I don't have the links right now because if I go off of this screen, I go, we got a lot of people sharing it right now. Dennis Bryant.
Hey, Dennis.
Good morning. Good morning, Sammy Frontero. Good morning, Karen. Hey,
a lot of new names here, Joey. This is great, even though it's a Tuesday.
The prizes. We should have done the prizes in the beginning. Once again, I will take responsibility. I'm running the show, and I failed. I failed us. So there's that. Shout out to Paul Horowitz, Nicole Schraft, and Chris McCarthy, who haven't been with us. All right, let's do the pick. Wait, let me ask Brenda if she still wants to be entered. Oh, well, she could get the dipshit if she went. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. She's in. Let me.
Hey, I want to put out, you're doing a shout out to your Joey Foote's having his surgery on Thursday, shoulder surgery. Good luck on that, Joey. And today's Volpork Bob's birthday. And I know a lot of people have been, you know, they check on Volpork Bob, and we always see him and say hi too. But happy birthday, guy.
Joey Foote, one of last week's Gloucester prize winners.
Yep.
Anybody want to speak during the day? Yep.
Okay.
What's everybody doing for Valentine's Day? Jim, I know you can't answer this because your significant other's right there with you, but maybe Kate's not watching today. Joe, what do you plan on doing for Valentine's Day? A little hint maybe, not a full-on answer.
I got to – hold on. I just – my –
I'm going to do it for my mom and my sister, so that's what I'm doing.
You're doing what?
I'm going to go ahead and do Valentine's for my mom and my sister, and I have a 9-year-old autistic nephew that is going to hopefully we're going to make some cards together for the family. So.
Oh, that's awesome. What a great idea.
He loves his arts and crafts and his, you know, colored pencils and markers, anything to do with art, and loves baking and cooking too. So maybe we can have him do some cookies for some family members.
Clues might have sets of paper and colored pencils and stuff like that to help with that kind of a project.
Excellent. We'll take that under the shopping advisement segment.
I think I saw that. A lot of places have cute little Valentine's Day ideas this year, it seems like.
I don't know. I'm thinking about maybe looking around for some different loofers and heart shape.
All right. I'm sorry for that delay. I had my phone, someone was trying to log into it from someplace else, so I had to reset my password. So sorry about that, guys. I just want to write it down.
It's tough being the king. They all want to hack into your phone.
That's a good one. Thank you, Dennis, for those words of wisdom.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Vodka is cheaper than dinner for two. And that's Dennis Bryant. Nice poem there, Dennis. Thanks for sharing this poem.
Okay. All right. How many shares do we have, Pat? Sorry.
I have three.
Okay. Ooh, three shares for two prizes. All right. Here we go. Are we ready? And here we go. And
zero.
Two.
Karen Seraphine.
Karen Seraphine gets the first pick. And
who is now driving across Alligator Alley heading to Bonita Springs, not the Villages.
And one.
And number.
Who is number one? Oh, Brenda says don't enter her. So the other person automatically wins. So Karen. Karen.
Sammy Frontiero is the next one then.
Okay.
And I think he said he wasn't going to be able to pick up. So I don't know if he wants to like donate it to somebody else. Somebody's got to let us know what they want.
Right. So the first one was Karen Seraphine. What would you like out of the prizes? What would you like? And Sammy Frontiero. So Karen is going to get Pauline's shit.
So she's okay.
Sammy Frontiero can get the CD, but if he's not able to get it, he can name someone to pick up the CD from me, and he would just need to private message me of who is going to do that. Chris Thompson says Marty Schottenheimer passed away. Marty Schottenheimer was the Kansas City Chiefs coach. Yeah. The game, I guess, put him into the grave.
He's been Alzheimer's. He lost his battle with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, he's been pretty sick.
Very sad. Yeah. I'm very familiar with how that goes. It's terrible. Hey, guys, thank you so much for being with me. What's everybody doing for lunch?
Give us a call offline and we'll figure that out.
All right, let's make that happen. All right, I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Ciao.
Bye.
See you guys.
Bye, everyone. Stay safe.